Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Wednesday. This is Brother Nate with the Church of Christ, the Life Message on the broadcast entitled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. I want to shout out and welcome those of you listening in the United States. Welcome to those of you in Spain and Ireland. Welcome. Welcome, Canada, the Netherlands, United Kingdom, and every country that is listening to this broadcast that I have not named. I want to welcome you to Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. Now, if you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If you have any questions about the lesson, I will do my best in the Lord Jesus to answer for you. If you want to make any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes out of respect, out of time of the broadcast. And if you are calling in to obtain information on how to get the messages, a copy of the messages that the Lord Jesus has sent through his angel messenger, I will get that to you also. Once again, I do understand that some of you that are listening, you may have a question, you may have a prayer request that you do not like to do over the air. Contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com, and I will get back to you. Now, without further ado, for those of you who don't mind joining in with me in prayer, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again this day. You have blessed us to gather together in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And Father, we want to thank you, Lord God, for blessing us this day and giving us this opportunity to petition you once again that your spirit will be with us in this day. Father, we pray for the revelation and understanding that we need that comes through the power of your spirit as we take this journey into your word once again. Father, we just thank you and glorify you and magnify you that, Lord, you're going to reveal things to us as we go into this message tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are on part two of the Midnight Cry, Redeemed from the Consequences of Sin, Sickness, Part 2. We have been looking at the part about the sickness and how that one of the consequences of sin, we looked at in another series, one of the consequences was death, and this came when you broke the law of the Lord. And another consequence that will come on you would be sickness. And that's what we're looking at today. Now, in part one, we looked at in Deuteronomy chapter 28. In fact, if you have your Bibles, let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And we're going to look in that again because we're going to go into the other verses because now in part one, we looked at and defined some of the sicknesses that the Lord had Moses to name, to tell him. And we see that the 28th chapter of Deuteronomy, even though man put it in chapter and verses, is a very long chapter because it has 68 verses. And we notice that the first 13 or 14 is dealing with blessings. And we read in Galatians 3 and 13 that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. And so you notice in Galatians 3 and 13, he didn't just say Christ redeemed us from the law. He said the curse of the law, which means that there was a specific part of the law that Christ, what he did, came to set us free from. And we, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, we see the curses of the law. And we looked at one before, which is in Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, when the Lord told Adam, the day that you eat that fruit, you shall die. And so we see that the sin comes, the death or the consequences come because of the sin. We understand that. So even in this Deuteronomy 28, you would notice in verse 15 that the Lord had Moses to tell the people that these curses will come on you and not just come over on you, he said, and overtake you. So that means that you won't have no defense against it, no cure for it. You wouldn't be able to whoop it. It'd be able to whoop you. And many of God's people are bound in sickness where they can't do anything for the Lord. Amen. And they fail to understand that it is a curse. And what needs to be done, number one, is look in the area of ourselves first to see if there are any open doors, because we notice that these curses mentioned here in this chapter here comes from through sin. Now, we looked in chapter one, and what we did is we looked at some of the names of these sicknesses. We looked at what in verse 22 and 27 and 28, and what I did was, you know, define some of these sicknesses that was mentioned in these verses, okay, to give you an overall view. And we saw those sicknesses range from tuberculosis to fevers, you name it, emrys, which is dealing with hemorrhoids, things of that nature, all these kind of sicknesses, scabs, itch, you name it, okay? All these dealing with coming is a curse. And notice once again as we go further that never let anybody tell you sickness is a blessing from God. As you see right here, it is a curse. There's nowhere in the scriptures, and if you can find it, you know the phone number, 515-605-9887. There's nowhere in the scriptures where you see sickness being blessings, okay? Now, we're going to look at verse 45 in this 28th chapter, verse 45. And the word of God says, moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee and shall pursue thee and overtake thee. Okay? Those are some strong words. Till thou be destroyed. You see that? So the curses ain't going to just come and just leave or come and do a little something. Here he said that the curses was not only going to come on you, it was going to pursue you. You know, something's pursuing you, is after you, is following you, okay? So in other words, there's no way you can go to hide from the sickness, okay? Because you got people today trying to run to different places, thinking that if I run to this place, I'll be okay. I run to that place, I'll be okay, okay? Trying to run from the sickness. When it's through a open door and broken of the law, you can do all the running you want to do. You're not going to run away from it. And then he said, not only shall it come upon thee and pursue thee and overtake you. Okay? So you might try to fight against it, but according to the word here, you're going to lose. Okay? Then he goes on and said, till thou be destroyed. So it's going to come, pursue and overtake, okay, until the goal of it is accomplished is to destroy. So it's going to do the work of the enemy, of Satan. And you say, well, how do you know that? Because remember, in John 10:10, Jesus said, the thief cometh but for to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So it's going to do the work of the enemy, okay? Now, let's look at verse 59 through 61. And look what it says. Then the Lord will make thy ways, plagues, wonderful. See, plagues is still dealing with sickness, okay? And the plagues of thy seed, even great plagues, and of a long continuance. Wow, going on for a long time. And sore sicknesses, and of a long continuance. Now, he said long continuance two times in that verse. Now, most time, you can rest assured, when you see God repeating something, it's going to come to pass. It's going to happen. And he said it's going to be a long continue. So this ain't no quick hit and go, okay? It's going to be over long continues. He said, moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, okay? Now, Egypt today will be a type of the world, okay? So he said he will bring all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of. And they shall cleave to thee. Some cleave to you or stick to. Okay? That's what he said. Also, every sickness and plague, every plague which is not written in the book of the law. Man, I mean, my God, it's bad enough you getting hit with sicknesses that, you know, those of Egypt have. Now he said, even the sicknesses that's not even written in this book. He said, then will the Lord bring upon thee till thou be destroyed. Okay? So what we fail to understand is that, especially when there's curses that come from the Lord, now there are 2 to 3 types of curses, okay? And one of them is cursed from God. And people say, yeah. But when there's a curse from God, that's when God directly moves his hand away. See, there's a lot of stuff people don't understand that God by his hand has been holding back. Now, when it's his judgment, he moves his hand and let it go, okay? No sickness is not in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven, okay? There's none of that. But see, he lets you know from the breaking of the law, these things will hit you, okay? Now, we're going to go into another witness book of the Lord, called The Word of the Lord. And as I share with you guys, the word of the Lord is the word of the Lord Jesus Christ through his angel messenger, the Elijah. And we're going to go a little step further because what we're doing in this section, we're looking at what Jesus did to redeem us. Now, remember, Jesus did his part. Everything is not automatic. That means you have a responsibility at the end in order for this thing to take a power effect in your life. It just means here that Christ provided it for. He did his part. He did what he needed to do in redeeming us. So in this, what is called the 85th message that the Lord sent out August the 14th, 1967, in this 85th message. And I want you to hear what the Lord has said through his angel messenger, the Elijah, as he has sent his word through the angel in Jesus' name to be given to mankind. And we are looking at this because, people, I told you, that some of you, and I think this, I said this in part one, some of you is not going to accept this. That's understandable, especially when you're not in the faith and not really believing the word of God. See, you got a lot of people talking about how they believe the word of God, but actually saying it and actually believing it is two different things. And as I said to you guys before, from what Jesus did, now hear me closely and clearly, from what Jesus did, you don't have to be sick. Okay. See, you got people, those in the church, think that because you are here in this world that you have to be sick. They say, oh, that's just part of life plan. Well, it may be part of life plan, but it ain't got to be part of your plan. In fact, what Jesus did, he did it so it won't be a part of your plan. Okay. You don't have to be sick. And we've been looking at, and we're looking at now, because we just got off here in Deuteronomy 28, we were looking at another thing that shows us what was the curse of the law. Now, we're going to go into what Christ did, okay? What he did, hallelujah, to put this plan of redemption into motion where he would deliver or free us from the consequences of sin. Because whether you believe it or not, sin has consequences. Now, some of you may not think you do. Some of you right now is in your party hardest state. And you going out getting drunk, waking up with hangovers, and you think that's just the life. But like I said before, the time is going to come. This thing is going to be grievous. Remember, you've been warned, okay? Now, in this 85th message, I want to read one of these verses, and I ask that you give your undivided attention. And I ask that what I read to you, ask Jesus. Remember, there's nothing hideous that I'm trying to do here. I'm giving you the word of the Lord Jesus Christ through his angel messenger, another witness of the dealings of the Lord with mankind and what Christ have done and doing and his commandments and his statutes, his judgments, and the extra oil that is to cause Christianity to flow as one to be the bride that Christ is coming back for. And this is what he had his angel to tell us. He said, the Lord rested in the hands of evil men, and they caused to be brought about the plan of God, redemption and the resurrection through the death of the human and the resurrection of himself to an example of life eternal. For all mankind, resurrection, but to many a ransom to all that hear and obey, enduring to the end that they might be saved. Now, one of the things that we notice in this verse and reading it, the angel of the Lord tells us that the Lord rested in the hands of evil men. And this caused to be brought about the plan of God, and he calls the plan of God, he calls redemption and resurrection the plan of God. But the Lord said he rested in the hands of evil men. Okay? Now, I'm going to get my dictionary here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to look up the word rested, because we want to understand, what do he mean by the Lord rested in the hand of evil men? So I am looking up the word rested, and looking at the word rested, it means, and remember, when we're looking up the word rest, we got to look it up in the verb tense, because you have a noun tense on it and you have a verb tense. So when he said the Lord rested, that's a form of action. So we're going to look under the verb, okay? And it means, one of the definitions means to cease from action or motion, to refrain from labor or exertion. To cease from action or motion, okay? It also means to get rest by laying down, okay, to lie dead. But one of the things is to cease from action or motion, to refrain from labor, or to refrain from doing something, okay? To cease from action or motion. Now, this is going to be interesting here, because this is what I want to show you through this, okay? Let's go to the book of John chapter 10 and showing where God rested, or the Lord Jesus Christ rested in the hands of wicked men. And I want to show you, because he ceased from doing a particular action, okay? And he rested in the hands, okay? John chapter 10, verse 15 through 18. Now notice what the word of God said. As the Father knoweth me, even so now I, the Father, and I, notice what he said, lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them I also must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore, doth my Father love me, because I lay down, you see that, I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man take it from me. Now, do you see that? But I lay it down, and that's the third time he said, lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, that's number four, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. So, when he rested in the hands of man, he laid down his life. He could have fought, but notice he said, I lay down my life. And then he said, no man take it from me. He just rested, just ceased from doing and just let them do it because actually from the word of the Lord, from what he said to his angel messenger, they didn't realize that they were putting in motion the plan of redemption. Okay? See, think about this. If Jesus would have fought them, then the plan of redemption couldn't have been. The sacrifice could not have been. So him being the Lord in the flesh, he could have fought it, but he didn't. So he rested in the hand. Now, notice that the word of the Lord said he rested in the hand of evil men. He didn't just say he rested in the hand of men. Why? Because it took the evil man to do what they had to do to bring about this plan of redemption, to bring for sacrifice. In other words, if he'd have went to some, quote, good people, they wouldn't have killed him. Okay? They wouldn't have crucified him. So then the sacrifice wouldn't have been. Okay? So he went to a people who he knew, okay, that had some wicked stuff going on and that would crucify him, which will be in the plan of redemption and the sacrifice to bring about one to be redeemed. So therefore, he went to a people, and the Bible said, the word of the Lord said he rested in the hand of evil men. Now, the Lord made sure his angel told us what kind of men, evil men. So he didn't just say he rested in the hand of men. He said evil men, okay? Just like, for example, too, the devil thought he had Jesus. He thought he had him whooped, okay? That's why every time you truly preach the plan of redemption, you slap the devil in the face. Why? Because, see, the devil thought he had Jesus whooped. He didn't work through man, work through their heart to kill Christ. He thought that was it. But he failed to understand he was also taking part in bringing forth the plan, okay? If he would have known that, because, see, that lets you know the devil ain't all-knowing. The devil don't know everything, okay? He lied to his followers like he do, but he don't know everything. He'd have known that, man. He would have, if he'd have known Jesus was doing something to redeem man, as much as he hate man too, he wouldn't have did that. Okay, but see, now he found out that he was part of the plan. See, that just shows you how wise our God is. So Jesus, the word of the Lord said, he rested in the hand of man. And so Jesus said in John 10, he said, I lay down my life. And he said it, well, at least 3 or 4 times. And one of the times he told you, he said, and no man take it from me. I lay it down. Okay, why? Because he was resting in the hand of men so that the plan of redemption can come about. He had a plan. And he executed that plan very well. Now, let's go to 1 John 3:16. Now, not John in the front, we're going John in the back. 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. 1 John 3:16. Look what he says. It says, hereby perceive we the love of God. Now he said, this is how you can tell the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us. He laid it down. And we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. He said, now this is how you know the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us. Now we got to understand, that's a great move. We're talking about Almighty God. We ain't talking about, you know, your uncle down the street, auntie, what, grandma. We ain't talking about that. We're talking about, ain't talking about no Hollywood star, nothing like that. We're talking about Almighty God. Comes in the flesh, incarnate in the flesh, and lays down his life. Okay? Now, if some of you ain't got it yet, keep praying. You're going to get it. You'll see how great this thing really is. Because we're talking about the ultimate ruler, the creator, coming to people he created to lay down his life, to let them do, quote, in a sense, just about really what they wanted to do in a sense, which was part of the crucifixion thing, to bring up or to cause the plan of redemption to go in motion. Now, this is God, not David, okay, not Moses, because they even had sin in their life. None of the men of God, because they had sin in their life. Remember, the sacrifice had to be pure. It had to be without sin. That's why the Bible says he was made sin that knew no sin. So Christ was made sin. In other words, he stood in our stead. He didn't commit sin, okay? And yet still, he laid down his life. Almighty God laid down his life for us. Amen. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. The Lord God laid down his life for us. He rested in the hand of evil men. You know, that's big time, people. Like I said, and you got to be honest with yourself. But some of you said, well, I don't quite understand what's big about it. Well, you ask the Lord, pray about it. But when you're looking at the almighty, awesome God coming incarnated in the flesh to allow himself to be beaten and mocked and spit upon, crucified, and all that, and he let it happen. You know, some of us, we already ready to hit somebody in the eye if they just walk by and step on the front end of our shoe. Okay, we already ready to hit them. But see, the Lord, to put the plan in motion, you know, I pray that you get it. But we're talking about Almighty God now. Remember that. Incarnated in the flesh, subject himself to that which he created. So a plan can be brought about to save them. Now, see, many of y'all today would say to another person, you are crazy. I mean, why you going to do something good to somebody that's spitting on you and beating you and kicking you and wants to kill you and hate your guts, want to throw you out of the town, want to throw your head first and kill you? Why would you do something like that? See, that's why that world type of mentality cannot catch a hold of the things of the Lord. That's why you have to become spiritually minded and getting into the word. Because if you're just thinking with a carnal thinking, you won't get this. It would look like foolishness to you. And to some, you know, some of these other religions, you know, they actually tell you, say, that what you're telling about Jesus was foolish. I mean, I wouldn't die for somebody that's beating me and kicking me and spitting in my face, okay? That don't make no sense. Well, of course it don't make no sense to them because they're not in the same frame of thinking. I'm talking about spiritually minded in the word of God. So they trying to think with their carnal mind. You know, remember in John chapter 6, when the disciple were following Christ, and Christ said, he that drink my blood and eat my flesh, and the disciple like, okay, wait a minute now. They said, this is a hard saying. Who can know it? See, they actually thought Jesus was trying to make them cannibals. You know, sitting up and just end up there and just eat it. You know, you can imagine the look on their face like, what? We just following the man. This man talking about eating him and drinking his blood. Oh, no. And so what they do, they quit following him. Because why? It was a carnal mind state that they was in. And they could not receive the spiritual. In other words, taking on the life of Christ. Taking and receiving him. They couldn't receive that. They was thinking natural. Now, in Matthew chapter 26, and I'm going to read verse 52 and 53, but remember, this is about, remember when Jesus in the garden of Gethsemane, and now Judas, yeah, the betrayer, lead the enemy there to come and get Jesus. So, you know, many times among the people of God, you got a Peter, okay? And that Peter, many times, you know, some people may call the Peter Mr. Hot-Headed or all that, you know. But Peter, you know, sometimes there's a place for some Peters among the people of God. Now, I ain't talking about when they go overboard, but I'm talking about when everybody's dull and down in the dumps and don't want to do it. Many times it's a Peter that gets folks stirred up. Say, come on, get on up now. We got to do something. Well, Peter decided, hey, you coming at my Lord, I'm going to cut your ear off. And so what did he do? Shrunk, he cut it off. And then Jesus like, hey, Jesus told him, put up the sword. Now see, once again, if you were thinking in carnality and you were there with Christ and you defended for Christ and you sliced the man's ear off and Jesus said, hey, put your sword up. And you know, the Bible lets you know Jesus replaced the man back here and he healed him. You would have looked at Jesus like, say what? Oh, man, something wrong with this man. And many of you would have broke off and left him, just like the disciples did. Okay? But notice what he says here in verse 52. Then said Jesus unto him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Now, here's the key verse 53. And he put this in the form of a question. He said, thinkest thou that I cannot now, not later, not in the past, now pray to my Father, and he shall presently, not past or future, presently give me more than 12 legion of angels? In other words, Jesus said, don't you think I could have called angels right now and take these folks out? But what would he come to do? Lay down his life. He rested in the hands of evil men, coming to pick him up. And he had to let Peter know, so now Peter, hold on. Because see, Peter really had the real grasp of the plan. He knew somewhat of the plan, but he didn't really have a grasp. Now, I can understand Peter in one sense. I'm not trying to dog down on Peter because I may be the same way. You know, you coming at my G, though, but we got to fight. You know what I'm saying? Hey. You know, we're going to kick up some dust or something. But then Jesus will probably have to do me like he did Peter. Oh, stop, Nate. None of that. Because, see, when you just understand in part, you got to remember, we know in part. The Bible said we know in part, okay? We prophesy in part, okay? So we can't act like we know the whole thing. And Peter, no doubt, wasn't just win of the whole thing, but Peter thought, hey, man, I got to fight. And so, but Jesus let him know, he said, don't you think I could pray to the Father now and he presently, not in the past, not will be sending 12 legions, presently, meaning right now. Jesus said, I could pray to the Father right now. Boom. 12 legions of angels. He could have did that. But what'd he do? He rested in the hands of evil men. So the plan of redemption, which involves being delivered from sickness, could be brought about. See, that's why when God is doing a plan in our life, we have to ask for understanding. Because there's always going to be something in the plan that you're going to be like, are you kidding, God? Or say what? What you talking about? What's going on? What you mean? Do what? And you going to do who? You know, so you have to ask for understanding. If not, we'll do like Peter. Okay, we're gonna handle this thing. We're gonna do this thing now. Okay? You ain't ground my Lord. Okay. And apparently, see, Jesus already had talked to the disciples and told him he would be crucified and he would rise on the third day. Now, of course, maybe Peter didn't put it all together to see that, hey, this is part of the plan. Okay. But see, once again, he was limited, just like we all limited, and what we understand about the plan of God. So therefore, Jesus came to what? He rested in the hands of evil men. That's what he did. And like I said, some of us, especially, I'm talking about church folks, we're looking at a carnality type state and go, I just ain't getting that. How is you all almighty God, and you come in here and let some folk beat on you? But see, you don't get what he's doing for you, okay? You ain't getting it. He ain't just come down here trying to look pretty or cute or handsome and stuff like that. He wasn't coming. He came with a purpose, okay? And guess who the purpose was on the mind? Us. That's the purpose of it. Not himself. Us, okay? And he was letting Peter know, man, I can call on the Father and wipe these folks out. Okay, but I'm not doing that. Okay, I can call on the Father and he will presently send angels. Okay, Not once again, not in the future, right now. Okay? See, God is even doing some right now things for his people now. You know, and see, you can see him move quicker the closer you get to him. Closer you get to him, you know, you can call on him and certain things, bloop, come on down. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Now, I want to go to the book of Acts, chapter 2. Book of Acts, chapter 2. The book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 22 to verse 23. So you got to remember, the Lord rested in the hand of evil men. Okay? So why? So this plan of redemption can be brought about. I mean, each time I think about it, you know, I can see how amazing it is. Because you have the awesome, almighty, all-powerful, living, all-wise, all-knowledgeable God in heaven, incarnation the flesh, because he's thinking about saving a creation that for the most part of them ain't thinking about him. Once again, this is not a regular, not your Hollywood star or your favorite comic character. This is Almighty God doing this. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verses 22 to verse 23, and this is Peter during the day of Pentecost talking to the men of Israel at this time. And I want you to hear what he tells the men of Israel. He said, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands, that goes along with the evil people, have crucified and slain him. Do you see that? Why? So the plan of redemption can be brought about. Amen? Crucified and slain. Killed. Amen. I hear so many people, and I was among them at one time, who in some sense don't mind telling, oh, Jesus died for my sin, he was crucified, and you know they're right. But I can hear in how they talk, they really lack how deep that thing really was what Christ did. And so some of them can talk about it lightly. And they do. And some of them just, you know, just say it, have a little concern or something about it. But you can tell when there are those who are speaking that really don't understand how great of a thing it was what he did. And to me, if Christ done such a great thing, which he did, and in that part is to redeem me from sickness, why would I think I need to be sick when Christ did what he had to do to deliver me from sickness? You understand that? Because it wouldn't make any sense, okay? It would be vain. And if you read the word concerning my God, he doesn't do stuff in vain. He doesn't do stuff that's nonsense or useless. It has a purpose. So when the Bible says that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, and in that curse was sickness, That's what he did, okay? As for me to say that I have to be sick because I am here on this earth would literally be a slap in the face to Christ. Because what he did so I don't have to walk around sick. Now, some of you as Christians need to hear this. Because some of you have given in to sickness and disease. It has bound you. You can't get up. You can't get around. You can't do certain things. And then many times you're saying, oh, I wish I was up. I can do for the Lord. I can go out on missionary work. I can do this and that. But, man, this so-and-so got me. Listen, Jesus don't want that in your conversation, this so-and-so got you. Why? Because of what he did. I'm telling you what I know, people. Because many times I have dealt with sickness many times. Some of y'all I have testified to have heard my testimony of dealing with high blood pressure and stuff like that. Okay? But I know that when it hit me, I didn't have to be that way. I didn't have to give in. Now, we thank God for doctors, but doctors are not God. And I would say this over and over. Love you in the Lord. If you don't like hearing it, I'm sorry for you. I'm going to say it. Doctors are not God. And many of your doctors, whenever you come across a certain sickness that medical science said there's no cure for, you can listen to the give-up speech. And you say, well, what do you mean? Well, some of them will give you medicine and telling you that you got to take this for the rest of your life because there's no cure. Okay? Well, I'm just going to be honest with you. Listen. They're going to be straight with you. So I might well be straight with you, right? Amen. I mean, you have a sickness and the medical science has said that there's no cure. You think that doctor's going to beat around the bush to tell you that? No, that doctor's going to tell you. You sit up there and tell the doctor, say, ask the doctor, doc, this sickness, can I be healed of it? Can I get over it? They'll tell you in a heartbeat, well, there is no cure for it. There's no cure. We're going to give you this medicine, and, you know, you take this medicine, it'll help you, you know, but there's no cure. Amen. See, I know that this is a word that the devil don't want me to speak to y'all about. I know this, okay? I know this is a word that's safe because I've had things come up as a late that the enemy have been doing, trying to get me off this course here. So I know it's something that he does not want me to talk to you guys about. Okay? I know this. No doubt in my mind. Okay? But being commissioned of the Lord, that's what I'm going to do. Okay? And that's why I'm doing it. No, you don't have to be sick. You don't have to be sick. You say, well, what, Brother Nate, do you mean sickness won't come my way? I didn't say it won't come your way. You don't have to accept it. You don't have to be that. In other words, diabetes come your way, you ain't got to be a diabetic. Okay? High blood pressure come your way, you ain't got to be one with high blood pressure. You don't have to be that. You can be what Christ came to do, and that's redeem you from sickness. You can be delivered from sickness. Amen. I know some of you may be shaking your head because that's hard for you to compute. You've been told for years, you know, that, hey, you got a sickness, a certain sickness, and the doctor say he can't do nothing about it, ain't nothing can be done. You've been told that for years. And what happened? You believed it. And here I am coming on this broadcast, and you listening, and you're hearing this stuff about, well, you can be healed no matter what the sickness is. Did you know that? See, Christ, he came to redeem us from sickness. Do you know that's any sickness? Go ahead. Name a sickness that you know is real hard. And I tell you straight, same way. Christ can heal you from it. He can deliver you from it. Why? Because of what he did. Okay? Yeah. So like I said, some of you have been plagued with that kind of thinking. Oh, I got this thing. You know. Amen. And see, some of these doctors are working hand-in-hand with the pharmaceutical company. So, of course, they're going to keep you on a down to say, hey, you know, you're going to have to stay on this medicine. You're going to need this medicine. See, that's why I told you you guys in the other broadcast about how that this is a critical time for your faith. Because I can see when this mark of the beast rise and the way things going, especially when people are dependent on their medicine. Remember, in Revelation 13, it says that you're not going to be able to buy or sell without having that mark. And it's called the mark of the beast. You take that mark, you can forget prayer. According to the word of God, let you know you take that mark, that's it. Okay? And see, if you can't buy or sell anything without it, that means that, remember, you buy your medicine. Even though you may have some insurance, many of your insurance don't cover everything. You got to come out with a little sum out of your pocket. Now, some medicine, and I believe it's dealing with how strong they are, or, quote, they say very important, like some medicines, certain insurance will pay for the whole thing because it don't hardly cost too much or nothing. But the mother medicine, that, you know, I remember a guy one time on my job, he had a lot of migraine headaches, and he told me that the doctor prescribed a pill for his migraine headache, and I think two pills was like $198 a piece. And this was back about, 10, 11 years ago. I was telling how much them things is now. $190-something a piece. You're looking at about $400 for two pills. Amen. And I'm here to tell you, Christian, if we don't get our faith geared towards God, amen, I'm just going to be real with you. Like I said, them doctors going to be real with you. So Brother Nate might as well be real with you. I'm going to be real with you, okay? I'm going to tell you just like this. The way things are going, because, see, the pharmaceutical company got to make money, and they're working with many doctors. They're in cahoot with many doctors. And that's why some stuff that's simple, they'd rather write you out a prescription so you can go and have to put it on your insurance or buy it. They ain't too much tell you go to the grocery store and get a ginger root and boil it and all that. They ain't too much going to tell you all that, okay? Amen. I want to read one more verse, and this coming from another book of God called the Record of Nephi. One of the books in this Record of Nephi is called the First Book of Nephi. I want to read to you what was said about Christ. Now, this was given to man of God, Nephi, that was over here on this continent. And he was given the word concerning Christ. He said, and the God of our fathers, which were led out of Egypt, out of bondage, and also were preserving the willingness of him, yea, the God of Abraham and of Isaac, the God of Jacob, yielded himself. He yielded himself according to the words of the angel as a man into the hands of wicked men. Do you hear that? To be lifted up according to the words of Zenoch, and to be crucified according to the words of Neil, and to be buried in a sepulcher according to the words of Zenos, which he spake concerning the 3 days of darkness, which should be a sign given of his death unto them who should inhabit the isles of the sea, more especially given unto them which are of the house of Israel. Do you hear that? So he said that Jesus is going to yield himself into the hands of wicked men. Wow. Wow. So this plan of redemption, which involves one being redeemed from sickness, can be brought about. People, let me help you out on something. The more you learn about Jesus, the more you find out it ain't no joke. See, you got some people, they can kind of they kind of joke around concerning Christ on some things that they really ain't got no business putting their mouth on in a jokingly way, making light of it. Okay. And the Lord has been gracious unto them many times. Okay. I just pray that they don't run out. Okay. Because eventually you'll run out. You keep doing it that way. But I learned this. The more that you learn about Christ, come interested and learn, studying the word and get deep, the more that it won't be a joke to you. See, some of you are speaking out of Christ, you know, out of respect concerning how grandma and granddaddy raised you. And we thank God for those two raising you that way. But you still haven't come into a personal relationship and revelation of Christ to a point that it ain't just what granddaddy and grandmama said anymore. It's what I know of myself concerning Christ. Amen. So glory be to God. Well, Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the word of the Lord. I thank you for this opportunity you've given and bless this day in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you would water the seed that I've sown and bring forth the increase in the name of Jesus. And Heavenly Father, I thank you. I glorify you and magnify you because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory be to God. Well, I'll be coming back with a part three. Look for the advertisement. Once again, this is Brother Nathaniel Hunt with the Church of Christ Eliza Message on the broadcast, Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless.